Let's just transition into what the Lord wants to speak to us today. God's got some good stuff. It's not an easy message, though. Let me warn you. God's pulling some punches today. I was praying last night, well, yesterday, and I was like, I had a message prepared. I was just finishing it up, and I was like, all right, Lord, I think this is kind of what I'm talking about and things like that. And I just like, this doesn't... You know when the Lord's speaking to you, you're like, that's not quite it. There's just something, it's just not the same. If you move in the prophetic and things like that, then you know it's like, if you know it's not the Lord speaking to you clearly. It's like, that just doesn't quite, it just doesn't quite fit. It's like having a puzzle of 1,000 pieces and you've got 999 pieces all fit together, but instead of a four-position puzzle, you know, a four-prong puzzle piece that you need, you've got a 6-1. And you're like, this just doesn't fit. It looks good, but quite doesn't fit. And so while I was praying last night and finishing up my other sermon, I was like, it just didn't fit this morning. And then how do you know that God loves you guys? Did you know that? Did you know that? Did you know that? I mean, come on. Did you know that God loves you guys? Did you know that he wants to speak to you more than I want to preach to you? Did he know? Did you know that? He wants to make sure I'm communicating it clearly through me to you guys. So he changed some things. And I was like, all right, Lord, what do you want to change? He said everything. I was like, all right. All right. This ain't my first rodeo. It is. I'm like, all right, Lord. What do you want to talk about? I'm fine with it because I know his heart for you guys is greater than mine. Not saying I don't love you guys. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that. I say I do love this house. I love the church. I love everyone here. But how much more does the love of the Father love you guys? So he changed some things on me. And it's good because he's always good. I never fear when I get up here what to preach. Because he loves you guys enough that he's going to speak clearly through me. That's why I never have to worry. And that's why I never have to feel obligated to do this. Because I enjoy this. Because I know God loves you guys and wants to inspire you guys to go after him and have a relationship with him. This walk is fun. Not always. But it is amazingly fun at times. There are seasons, yes, there are seasons. But the Christian walk is an amazing journey. That without him, it's not worth taking. It's not worth living life without him. It's just not. So I want you to turn to your Bibles to Genesis, if you have them. And so the message, or I would say the title of this sermon, is What Are You Holding On To? Yeah, I'm going to start it. Is What Are You Holding On To? And we're going to go live now. Hello, my friends from Facebook. Love to see you guys here at CLCC. Just wanted to see you guys come out and join us anytime, Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock, and want you to experience what God is doing in this house, but also God wants to do some great things in your hearts today. So please listen up. He's got some good stuff for you. Amen. All right. Pastor Kurt does it so much better. I can say that. You can't say that, Pastor Kurt, but I can say that. Amen, amen. I love it. I'm not insecure about that. I just love Pastor Kurt, the way he treats me. It's really nice. It's really nice. It's really good. It's a good thing. I love Pastor Kurt. And his boys are pretty good, too. I like them, too. You know, they're good guys. And his wife, she's sweet, you know. All right, let's just, the whole church is amazing, okay? Let's just say it. The whole church is amazing, okay? From everyone, I can name you all. I won't, but I could name you all. So everyone's amazing here. God has great things in store. So Genesis 17, 19. Are you there? All right, awesome. So then God said, yes. And we'll stop right there. All right, we're good. That's it. Welcome. You know, goodbye. Everything. That'd be kind of nice, wouldn't it be? Then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. Wow, what a promise there. We remember about Abraham and Sarah. We remember that he was 100 years old when he had Isaac. Pretty old guy. Isn't that right, Jack? Jack's like, yeah. Older than Jack. That's right. It's okay. 100 years old. And they have their son, Isaac, which is the covenant. But let's go down to chapter 22. Now, this is what we get into, some interesting stuff right here. And this is when the sermon comes in. What are you holding on to? Genesis 22, verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am. Abraham replied. What a great response. I like that. Here I am. I'm right here. Right here, God. Right here. It's me. You call my name, it's me. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain. I will show you. Woo! This is his son. This is the promise. This is the covenant. And you're supposed to sacrifice him. God said it. It's not like some weird, loopy demon or someone else came from, or some seer or something else came through in the mist and said, sacrifice your only son. No, it was God who said this. I can only imagine what's going through Abraham's mind at that moment. Was that really God? Yes, it was. And he knew it. Because early the next morning, in verse 3, early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out to the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. So God showed him that, of course. He said to the servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. We will come back to you. It wasn't, I'm coming back. We will come back to you. Abraham had been through a lot. If you remember Abraham's story, he's been through a lot. God showed him where the promised land was for him and his descendants. He had to go through a lot of challenges, a lot of trials, a lot of things he thought was God. And now he's to this point where he's going to have to sacrifice his son, the promise that was given to him. But he says, we will come back to you. Now, I need a volunteer, or as I like to put it, a voluntold, you know. So let me get Ryan up here. Let me get Ryan up here. He's going to be my voluntold. I appreciate you, Ryan. So I'm going to have you sit down right here, give you this nice chair so you can sit down, relax, take it easy. There you go. There you go. You can sit down right there in that chair and relax. You feel relaxed?
Yeah.
Okay. So he doesn't feel very relaxed, I can tell. So so Abraham took the burnt offering, placed it on his son Isaac, and then he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied, the fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? So something was up. And Isaac knew something was going down. He just wasn't sure what was going down, but he knew something was going down. And Abraham answered, God himself, he doesn't put off or anything, he says, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on. Now, there was some part, we missed something in there, the Bible doesn't tell us, about the discussion of what really happens for Isaac to get on that altar. Because it says in verse 9, when they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham's over 100 years old. Isaac's a young, strapping man in his prime. He's pretty strong. I'm pretty sure that if Isaac didn't want to go on that wood altar, he wasn't going to go on there. And it wasn't like Daddy did anything kind of shady. He's like, oh, Isaac, look at that bird over there. Okay, go out. You know, he didn't do anything like that. Here, son, have this drink. It'll make you better, you know. He'd say, and there's a little sleeping tonic in there or something, you know. He didn't do anything like that. His son let him bound him and put him on the altar. All right, thank you. I appreciate the Rod. Let's give Rod a clap. Good job. I can see it today. It gets on Facebook, you know. Pastor chokes son out. Pastor's kid son out. Ryan's like, oh, Lord. Man, please don't choke me out. Sorry, I wasn't going to do that. Not before you get married anyway. So, I mean, you're getting married soon, so it's okay. But he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Okay, if I was Isaac at that moment, I would be a little bit fearful. Let's just put it that. Can we be real for a minute? You're bound on the altar. You're like, Dad, what are you doing? Dad, stop. And then you see the knife come out. You're like, it's getting real now. Something's about to happen. And you see him go up. You're like, oh, and you... Oh, man. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now that I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up. There's a thicket. He saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over, took the ram, sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Come on, somebody. There's a lot going in that verse. There's a lot going on in that story. We can go through a lot of different avenues from that story, from that historical document, from the everlasting truth, from the love letter, from the Father. You can call it what you want to, because all those names are true for this book. But the one thing that the Lord really brought out to me was the title. What are you holding on to? Abraham obviously was holding on to his son, but the Lord had to test that. The Lord was saying, do you value your son and the promise more than you value me? And what God is saying to us today is, what are we holding on to him? What are we holding on to that we're valuing above him? What are we not willing to lay down? I mean, there's no small feat of what Abraham did in this story. There is no small feat whatsoever. He was going to kill his son, sacrifice his son, the covenant, what God had gave him, the descendants, everything was on the line. Everything. And yet he laid it down and knew God was going to do something. He didn't know what. He had no idea what. But because of where he had been and what had gone on, he could do this. If Abraham had been asked to do this when he first left his family to go into a promised land, there is no way he could have done this. But because of the journey the Lord took him on and God showed his faithfulness, even in Abraham's unwillingness and Sarah's unwillingness to do certain things, still God showed himself true. So what are we holding on to, church? That's a good one, Pastor Van. Oh, that's a good one. But don't go there. Don't go there. Please, please. I like my life the way it is. Compartmentalized. I've got my Jesus corner right here. Then I have this here, this, this, and this, and this. I don't want Jesus to spill over to everything because I feel like these parts of the house are mine and he doesn't really need to touch those parts because I'm doing good. I'm doing good without him in those parts. I can do well with those parts. I have a mind. I have intellect. I've read some really good books. I've got a lot of good advice. I don't really need Jesus because I'm doing well in this part. Are you? Just because you've achieved something on earth doesn't mean you've achieved something in heaven. Ooh, oh, that's strong. That's a quote or a tweet. Just because you have achieved something on earth doesn't mean you achieve something in heaven. Ooh, I'm going to write that down. That was really good. That was straight from the throne room. I love it when that happens. Oh, so good. But what are we holding on to? Or what are we not willing to let go? That's hard. Let me just give you some examples. I don't need anyone to raise their hands, but you know in your heart, if I hit one of these, you know it's like, oh, yep, that's it. What are you holding on to? What if it's something that's not even on earth? What if it's a promise of God that you've been holding on to? Like Abraham did. Abraham did have a son, but it was also a covenant. It was also the promise. What if you're looking to the promise as your provider and not looking to the provider? Are you holding on to the promise of something happening more than the person who promised it? Are you holding on to that? Are you holding on to your children? That's a tough one. I was a father of four. I'm like, oof. Sometimes I want to hold on to them like, hey, do it this way, this way, this way. And I want to do it my way because I think I know best. Father knows best. Well, that's not true all the time. Maybe in the 60s it was. But even in the 60s they didn't know about everything. Your children, you're willing to lay them and say, Father, here they are. However you want me to lead them, you lead them. I'll pray for them. I'll encourage them. Laying them on the altar. Saved or unsaved. What about a spouse? Well, that can get tricky. And it says in the Word of God, that I'm supposed to love my wife as Christ loves the church, and wives are supposed to submit to their husbands. Both can be daunting at times. But are you willing to give that to God? Lay that down. Like, Lord, here's my spouse. I should stop trying to change that person. Although they do get on my nerves on certain things, and I'm just being real. It can happen. Don't tell me it can't, because you're lying. I'm just saying you're lying. And we're in church too. So things, there are certain things that you might not like. And instead of praying for them to change the things that you don't like, why don't you pray for the Lord to change things in your heart that you love them even more? And what you would, and what the Lord would have them do. Instead of it benefiting you, why not benefit the kingdom? And say, Lord, I will pray for my spouse. Lord, I pray that you do awesome things in my spouse's life. That they would have a relationship with you more than ever before. That they would be able to come to you whenever their need is great. Because I can't fulfill that, Lord. Only you can. That they will come and they will enjoy your presence. And enjoying the presence, you will fulfill them in the destiny that you've called them. That they would embrace it. That they would go after it. Can't we pray for our spouses like that? Instead of, oh God, change this woman or this man because they are getting on my nerves. Just being honest. What are we holding on to? What if it's a job? Oh, don't say that, Van. Don't say that. I really like my job. I'm making over $200,000 a year. I like my job. I mean, if you are, that's amazing. I'm not making that. Or maybe it's $500,000. Maybe it's seven figures. I don't know. But I really like my job. And if, you know, I'm just kind of cool enough that I fit in with every crowd and I don't really share about Jesus or no one even knows that I'm a Christian, really. Are you really giving your job to Him? Or God, I'll quit my job if you tell me to and I'll serve you somewhere else. That's going to be a tough one. Another one. What about your health? Well, that's interesting. Oh, man, my health. I'm young. Oh, I feel good. I like my health. I hardly ever get sick. I don't need to pray for, you know, for God to do things in my body or anything like that. I'm always healthy. Do I take pride in that? We're going to lay it down at His feet. Or maybe money. Maybe it's money. Well, I've got my 401k in the bank. I've set aside about $50 million. Everybody's laughing because I'm like, yeah, that'd be kind of nice. It'd be nice to have $50 million in the bank right now. I mean, that's true. It's true. It'd feel nice. I don't know if you do. If you do, blessings. That's awesome. But $50 million in the bank. I'm secure. I'm set. No worries for the rest of my life. But what if God wants you to give a lot of it away to something? Boy, that gets rough then real quick, doesn't it? Or maybe you don't have a lot in the bank and He still wants you to give a portion of that. Well, God, how am I going to live? How are things going to happen? Are you giving Him your money? Or are you holding on to it? Say, this is mine. I worked hard for this. But didn't He give it to you? Just saying. Or maybe you have an incredible body. Maybe you have this body that you've worked on. You've got, you know, muscles and you're athletic and all these wonderful things. And as my father used to say, you know, he said, I'm over 200 pounds of bent steel and sex appeal for my wife. That's what he would say. He would say, he worked hard on his body. He's like, yeah, I like this body. It's a good body. That's what my father used to say. Don't get mad at me. He's the one who said it. And if you have a problem with it, he's in heaven with Jesus. You can go talk to him later. I'm just saying. You guys can use that because you guys are young if you want to. You can. But just remember, it's for your wife, not for anybody else. Just remember that. So, Ryan, you can use that. All right. So, But maybe we get caught up on our bodies. Been going to the gym a lot, been doing a lot of things. Like, man, I look good. I look good. But is it because we want to, there's nothing wrong with looking good, but are we making that more important than what God is? Now, some of you might be saying, well, Van, that's an Old Testament scripture. That's an Old Testament story. Well, let me bring it up to date with you. Let me bring it into the New Covenant then. It says in Matthew 6:33, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. First. That doesn't mean last. That doesn't mean second. First. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Are we willing to lay down those things? Are we willing? Today is a day that you've been presented a choice. Are you going to lay those things down? Maybe for you, I didn't mention one for you. Maybe you're like, oh, whew, he didn't cover mine. Thank goodness. Whew, I thought I was going to be worried there for a minute. But if the Lord brought it up, there's a reason. Just going to say that. And the Lord has great plans in store for you. It's not like He's telling you that you have to lay this down because He's a horrible God, that He wants to take everything from you. It's nothing like that. He loves you. He wants you to do amazing things. He created you for a purpose and a destiny. But to be able to be the fullest and to fulfill that purpose and destiny, we have to be totally reliant on Him. We have to be willing to lay down those things we're holding on to. I know in my life there's a lot of these things I've held on to for too long on sometimes. And some things I pick back up and I'm like, oh yeah. And they're good things. They're promises that God's given me. And I'm like, all right, I'm believing the promise. And yet, the promise has superseded the one who gave it in the first place. And I need to lay down that promise. I need to lay down my children, my spouse, my job, my health, my money, those things. I need to lay down those things for His kingdom. Because when you accept Christ into your life, you're no longer living for yourself. You're living for Him. But that is an amazing thing. Because what we do on earth, it's temporary, but what we do in heaven is eternal. And I would rather do things here on earth that are for eternal than what's just temporary. So today, I'm going to ask if you'd join me today. There's going to be some things that the Lord has revealed to me that I'm holding on to. And I'm asking if you want to join me today in laying some of those things down. And it can be anything. You don't have to say it out loud or anything like that. I'm not going to make you do that. But are you willing to lay those things down? I pray that you do and you join me today in doing that. And like I said, it could be any of those things. But as a sign saying that, Pastor Van, I'm joining you today. I want to lay those things down because I know God's got some great plans. And maybe I might not understand it like Abraham did. We see the whole story with Abraham. He was living it out. He had no idea what was going to happen. But he knew that God was going to provide something. So will you join me today? And in joining me today is a declaration of, yes, I'm going to join you. If you would lift your hand right now and say, Van, I'm going to join you today. You don't have to tell me what it is, but you say, I'm going to join you today. There are some things I need to lay down. All right, let's just pray right now. Father, I thank you that you've stirred us and in letting us know what's going on in our hearts and we've held on some things for too long or haven't invited you into some areas that we thought we were okay. Father, we're sorry. We're sorry that we think we're prideful enough that we can do everything without you. We're sorry for that. That is ignorant thinking. We thank you, Father, that you want to be in relationship with us, that you want to help us to fulfill the destiny and the dreams that you have for us, which are amazing. And there is no greater fulfillment going to come in our lives but doing those things. We thank you, Father. And we're laying those things, whatever it is, whatever it was, we're laying that at your feet. Say, here, Father, here, take this. Take it. I'm done. I'm done with keeping it from you. I'm done thinking I can do a better job. I give it to you, Father. And I make you King. I make you Lord. And I know that you're going to do great things with that. And I know you can do great things in me because I'm laying that down. Thank you, Jesus, that you've shown us today of how great you are and the fulfillment of doing great things for you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Well, church, don't pick it back up. Once you lay it down, don't pick it back up, because it's so easy to sometimes. Like, well, I laid it down. I joined Pastor Van, and I laid it down that time, but I'm getting a little worried now halfway through the week, maybe on Wednesday or Thursday. Well, I mean to pick it back up a little bit. Things aren't going exactly the way they were supposed to. Don't pick it up. Let them have it. Let them have it. And you'll be so much better for it. Amen. Amen. Be blessed today, folks.